now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
With me right here beside me is my co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni, who is now 40 years old.
Ooh, gosh.
She had a big old birthday bash over the weekend, and it was fun. I was there. I witnessed it. It was great. It was great. You can really dance, girl.
Oh, well, thank you. Remember, what happens at the party stays at the party.
Oh, okay. That's enough about Angel's 40th birthday party. We're glad you're all joining us tonight. We've got a great topic, as always, and we love doing this show. Go yard means hit a home run in life instead of striking out. And we are talking about getting out there on the limbs of life.
Yes.
What does that mean, doctor?
Well, you know, Mama Mac, our whole premise is about making change, living yes. life better, growing, doing it different.
Right.
And we can't do that and stay in our comfort zone. And it's hard to do that.
Ah, but we love our comfort zone. It's cozy and cuddly.
It is. And, you know, and we spend a lot of time week after week talking about different ways to change or different things to change or things to improve our lives. But tonight, I really thought that we should talk about change in general.
Change in general is great. And it's so interesting that so many people, I guess it's our human nature, fight change.
We
don't like it.
Even when we are miserable and what we are, misery is comfortable.
Right.
And it's hard to change.
Well, it's because it's familiar, don't you think?
True.
I mean, whatever it might be, it's familiar. I still have a shirt that I've had probably 30 years, I mean, or more, an old flannel shirt that every time my daughter sees it, she just cracks up. Can't believe I still have it. But it is one of the most comfortable old flannel shirts you ever saw. And that just kind of reminds me of how we all are. And not necessarily with clothing, although, yeah, you had some 80s clothing on over the weekend.
I did bust out the 80s clothes.
Boy, you sure did. But, you know, it carries to all areas of our life, doesn't it, doctor?
It really does. And so we hear some things and they're like, yeah, that would be really great for me to have in my life, or ooh, I could really use that to improve my life. But then we get stuck in putting it into practice and implementing
right.
that change.
Yeah.
Because it's scary.
Getting out on a limb. That's
so
kind of what.
Out.
Yeah. Woo. God. And so this is going to be an exciting show. We want you to be involved. And in order to be involved, we want to give you our text number that comes right here to my phone. I'm going to hold it up right here. And that number is 727-888-4171. One more time, write it down. Right here to this little green phone, 727-888-4171. So we also want to welcome our StarCom Media Network participants and partners scattered in across the United States now and in different countries. And so we're so glad that you are hearing this show and are a part of our Go Yard family. So welcome, everyone.
Yes.
Kind of fun.
Amazing, yes.
Yes, and that all happened to us about the middle of January. We began this show in September last year, 2014. So we've got a lot of shows on our website, goyard2014.org. Go there and go to radio broadcasts, and you can hear everything up through the end of March. And then next week at the end of April, our webmaster will put all of April's shows on there. Once they're on, they stay on. So you can go back and tell somebody, hey, why don't you go listen to those shows on boundary setting or whatever. So we want you to make use of our website, goyard2014.org. Okay, Dr. Angel, we all want things to be better in our lives, don't we? Really, or do we?
Well, we want them to be better in theory.
In theory, all right, but not necessarily in practice.
We have the desire, we have the want, and sometimes we'll talk about it, we'll think about it, but then when it comes time to actually putting some feet on those changes,
right?
Red light, we stop ourselves lot of times. We are our worst enemy when it comes to change.
Well, you know, when we first started the show in September, we did a series on domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And I see this, and I know you in your practice treat people who have been abused and whatever. This is one of the main problems with people that are abused. They want to get out of it. But it's very hard to do that, isn't it? To implement those changes.
Absolutely. And I'm not even limited to domestic violence. In counseling, the number one struggle that people have is change.
Change. Yes.
And they come in and they want it to different. We can talk about different, just like we do on the radio, and give them tools and ideas.
Right.
And they're all excited. Yay, yay, yay. And then they come back and it's still the same.
Still the same. Whoa, okay. And sometimes we get used to feeling miserable and feeling hopeless and feeling like nothing's ever going to change, so why should we do anything about it? I mean, I've heard that in counseling for years with people that I've talked to. So we have all these hopes. We have these desires for change. We can kind of picture ourselves in a different scenario, whatever that scenario might be, but carrying out is the problem.
It is. It can definitely be the problem. So we get the idea and we'll get the thought. Maybe someone will help us come up with a tool and we'll start thinking about, ooh, that would really make my life better. Or this would improve the quality of my relationship or whatever. And then we don't take action. Part of that we don't take action is because we don't make a plan to take action.
We're big about making plans around here, aren't we? You have a brand new, beautiful portfolio there.
Oh, that was a gift from my sister and brother-in-law.
All right. But I bet you're going to fill it up with all kinds of plans. You already were taking notes this week on what we were going to do tonight. So, and you're good about that. And I am too, about writing things down, making plans, and executing them. I love to cross off the things on my list that I've accomplished. It just gives me a lot. And I do it with a different color. If I write it in blue, I'll cross it off in red. So when I look at it, I go, whoa, I did that today. You know?
And that helps us to be more productive in our daily and time management. And we're talking about making plans for change, because nothing is going to happen until we start making a plan for it to happen.
Absolutely. If you have a question or you want to add to this conversation, or if you want to ask Dr. Angel, how do I change this, whatever it is in your life, you can text us 727-888-4171, or you can also call in, and I forgot to mention that. And anytime you can call in during these Go Yard shows, 727-441-3000. Our handsome engineer Chris, sitting in there in the control room, will answer the phone and patch you through. 727-441-3000. You know, we've been given free choice. I mean, that's what God gave us when he created us. You know, we are people that have a free will. That's the word I'm looking for. We are not puppets on a string. We have the right to make our own decisions. Why is it so hard then for people to take that right?
There's a lot of dynamics that make change difficult for people.
Okay.
One of the biggest things that come up is that fear. We talk ourselves out of it. We don't make a plan. So we're going to go through. Yes. We're going to go through these. It is huge. Fear is a huge obstacle, and we let that stop us.
Well, what are people afraid of, Doctor, when it comes to making life changes? And, I mean, do you want to talk about a specific life change? I don't know. Whatever. You can think of examples.
What are people afraid of? A lot of things. They're afraid of the unknown.
Okay.
When we have a change, it's a risk.
Okay, unknown. That's a huge, that encompasses every area, doesn't it? We're all, yeah. It's like, what's it going to be like if I do this? What's my life going to be like if I go back to college and finish my degree? What's my life going to be like on a daily basis? Am I going to be working, you know, 14 hours a day? Whatever.
Whatever that is. And it doesn't matter if it's positive change or if we're going to fail. We can be just afraid of failing as we can be of succeeding.
Whoa.
What if
we can be afraid of succeeding, doctor?
True, because it's different. It's unknown. We don't know what to expect. And so what if I succeed in this? Then what are people going to expect more from me? Am I going to, you know, and all the thoughts start coming through our head of being more afraid of success.
I was one of those that went straight from high school right into college. And then I was a teacher, high school teacher for a few years. But you didn't do it that way, did you?
No, I did not.
And I think you're a good example of people that don't do it like I did, just straight from high school, straight into college. You want to talk about that?
True.
Because it applies here.
It does. And I had children. I didn't start college till my first son was born. And then it wasn't about me making this goal for myself anymore. I wanted to provide better for my kids. And
okay.
So that was what propelled me.
All right.
But I lived in fear of failure.
Okay.
And success every step of my way. Every class
wow.
I took in the beginning, am I going to be smart enough? Am I going to have what it takes to do this? Can I do this? Should I be doing this? I'm taking time away from my child. And then hearing the voices, and everyone had an opinion.
And the next year you had another son.
Yes, I did. I signed up for college and found out a week later I was pregnant.
Okay. And that happens to some of our audience. I mean, some of them can relate that life, they make decisions and then life throws them a, you know, kind of a curveball that they weren't expecting. But you went on.
I did. I did go on, and there were a lot of voices out there telling me I shouldn't, and I'm being selfish, and how could I, what kind of mother would do this with their kids? You have babies, you need to be home. And so I learned to balance and not listen to their voices and say, no, this is the goal, and I want to provide. And it was a step. I didn't say walk into college and say, I'm going to have a PhD one day.
No, you didn't,
did you? I walked in and say, I'm going to have an AA degree.
Yeah.
And then a BA degree, and then two, and then I kept going.
Right. And so the voices that came at you sounded pretty reasonable at the time. Like, how can you do this with two little baby boys, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And especially when you're a young mom. I was a pretty young mom. I was 20 when my first child was born. So in today's standard, that's pretty young
pretty
as
young
a mom.
Now. Yeah.
And, you know, when you have more experienced people, grandparents, and, you know, they have kids and they're giving you these words of wisdom, you want to listen.
You.
But then you're like, but I have a dream.
Yes.
And
woo!
So do I listen to the voice or do I seek a dream?
And, you know, the voices can be pretty loud that come at all of us when we are trying to get out there on that limb of whatever it is in our lives. And they can be very convincing, too.
Oh, yes.
And they can, and especially when there's more than one voice. It's your mother, or it's your mother-in-law, or it's, you know, everybody around you, or, you know, saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. And audience, I want you to comment on this, because I think this is a big part of why people don't get out there on that limb. They may start out on it, and they may just kind of retreat because the voices are so loud.
Oh, absolutely. And then life happens.
Right.
So, you know, I sign up for college, and then I find out a couple weeks later, now I'm pregnant with my second child. And then I start having pregnancy difficulties.
Oh, wow.
Well, so I could have talked myself out of this goal so quickly.
Yeah.
I had everything around me telling me, stop, what are you doing? You know, people were telling me no. You know, I'm overwhelmed at trying to keep up with everything. And yet, there was something inside of me that said, no, keep taking a step.
See, that's the difference, I think. For a lot of people, maybe they don't recognize that whole area called dreaming, you know, where we dream of a better life or a different scenario, or where we allow ourselves to think that things can be different than they are, you know. A lot of people don't allow themselves to think that way, I think.
True. I think that it's scary
stuck
to think
in the
of
rut.
What if it's different?
Oh.
What if it's different? What if I have this? What if I can do this? And what happens then? That's a scary thought.
Well, you come back to what you said a minute ago. The biggest obstacle is fear.
Fear. And fear of success is just as big as fear of failure.
Fear of success. That is interesting. Why would someone be afraid of success? I mean, I know the answer, but I want you to feed it to our audience.
A variety of things, but mostly it's the unknown of what is success going to look like, and how is my life going to be different, and how will I live this different life?
Right.
I know this.
Okay, so, wow. So we tell ourselves all kinds of excuses. Okay, so this is going to be too hard. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to stick it out. I know so many people who start things and they never, ever finish them. I mean, I think that is even pretty common in our society and generational these days. I mean, my parents' generation, I mean, my grandparent, my grandpa worked at the same factory his entire life after he started a job other than the bakery that his dad owned. And he went to work. He went to work in the same factory to retire from there. He worked there 45 years.
True. And our culture doesn't allow that anymore.
Not anymore. Everything's changed.
And everything's changed. And people, they say, will have an average of 2 to 3 careers during a lifespan.
Oh, yeah. I have.
If not more.
I've had more than that.
And it's true. And so our culture has kind of changed.
Right.
Because it's ever changing. And so we don't have that stability with careers anymore. And we've really talked a lot about the school focus. But, you know, I've had a client a few years ago who wanted to go after her son had graduated high school and wanted to go and get a career now that she was, you know, empty nester and do something for herself. And she could not make that change of trying to become a hairdresser.
Wow.
Because the fear of failure stopped
her.
What if
wow.
I fail? And we would talk about it, but if you don't, you'll never be there.
Right.
If you take a step, you could be there.
Right.
Could is better than never.
And you got to put one foot after the other. You're one step after the next step. And it may be hard at first, but the goal of change and reaching out there and sticking out there on that limb is wonderful. I mean, I've done it. I've reinvented myself a few times during my life. And it's a blessing, actually, to try new things. But I think a lot of people come from maybe little subcultures or families where everybody's always doing what grandma expects or mom expects or whatever.
And we can do that. We're kind of conditioned to do that. You know,
we
but
are.
Change is scary. And it was funny because, you know, having the big birthday, I kind of went through some old pictures and stuff. And I was looking at some of my old journals and I was kind of looking back at my own journeys and looking at my fear of change. And my fear of change was in regards to succeeding. And I was so afraid that those first steps they are so hard to make.
They are.
And I get it. And I know where our audience is. We've all been there.
Yes. But you're here and I'm here to say you can do it.
You can do it.
And I'm so glad that I'm to this point in life where I am and having done the things I've done, tried the different careers, teaching and owning a Christian bookstore, managing that, and a pastor for many years and realtor for 24 years. I've done a lot of things and I'm glad I have. It's been fun. My first job was working in the men's underwear department at JCPenney's in Muncie, Indiana.
Aww.
Ah, isn't that cool?
That
anyway,
is cool.
Anyway, so, you know, it's okay to do different things. And I think our lives are enriched when we do.
Well, they are very enriched. And it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Joyce Myers who goes around saying, do it afraid.
Do it afraid.
Do it afraid. It's okay to be afraid. We're all going to feel fear.
So what if it doesn't happen? Your change that you want to do and you just can't. How many times was it that Thomas Edison tried to invent the light bulb?
It was quite a few. And maybe 1,000 or more.
I mean, it was crazy. I'd have to look that up again. But one of our callers may know. And if so, text us with the answer to that.
But here's the thing. Here's the antidote with fear. Fear is it can be very paralyzing. It's a very strong energy source.
It is.
Fear is an energy source. It can paralyze us where we're afraid to move and we can't take any steps. But it also can propel us.
Right.
And so that's what we want to get fear. We can feel fear. We will feel fear. If you're making a change and you're not feeling fear, that's not normal.
Right.
You will feel it, but we can use it to be our energy to push us forward into that
change.
Yeah,
that's good.
Use that energy to guide you and give you the strength because
right.
when we get it to push us, we gain courage as mm-hmm. we change.
Courage. Well, and you know, the thing that you mention all the time is a word called chunk.
Chunk.
Chunk it.
Chunk it.
Chunk it.
Chunk it.
Doesn't that apply here when you're stepping out, going out on the limb? And if so, explain that to our audience who may not know what chunking it means.
Absolutely. Chunking is such a great concept because when we start thinking about whatever our changes we want, we'll think of it in the big picture a lot of times. We'll see the big change. If we're talking about a college education, we'll see, you know, the bachelor's degree. Well, that's a big feat.
Right.
And so chunking it is one class at a time or one semester at a time or one step at a time. And
exactly.
before long, a lot of little steps become big steps and leaps and
right.
it just grows.
Okay. So we encourage our audience to try that. And what happens if this change that you want doesn't happen overnight? Because a four-year degree does not happen overnight.
Most changes.
It takes at least 4 years.
And any change.
Sometimes six.
Yes. And any lasting change.
Right.
Is going to take time. And because the change on the outside, the change of behavior, the change in relationship, or whatever we're changing, that's kind of the outside. But change is a process. And it
yes.
changes us on the inside as we're going through it.
And it helps so much to be mentally on board with change.
True. And so we're going to talk about some
okay.
good strategies with that. But we can't leave the fear factor without giving Eleanor Roosevelt's, my favorite Eleanor Roosevelt quote.
Oh, she was great.
Where she talks about, we gain strength, courage, and confidence by each experience in which we really stop to look fear in the face. We must do that which we think we cannot do.
Wow. Boy, that's great. We must do that which we think we cannot do. There you go, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Very much.
We must do the thing we think we can't do. Because then it's a sense of accomplishment, isn't it?
And it grows. It grows
right.
us inside out. And, you know, as we change and grow and develop, we're
right.
gaining, we call our courage muscles, which we're going to talk about in the second half of the show.
Right.
And that's
our courage muscles.
Where we get stronger each step.
You and I were talking about this, and I kind of like that senior citizen concept. You know, some of us do get to that retirement age, but we don't retire. We just keep on. But what's the senior citizen mentality that you talk about sometimes? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. When we talk about that, is think about the change you want to make.
Okay.
And then picture yourself 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road making that change.
Okay.
And think about how you feel with that change and what will your life look like with that change. And if you don't have that change, do you think you would have regrets?
Aha. Uh-huh. So it boils down to, what if you're a senior citizen, you're 70, you're 80. Of course, now we just heard last week on TV, which I mentioned it last week on the show, that middle age is now 60. And that's a wonderful thing to know. But anyway, let's say you're 85 and you're sitting in your rocker. Are you going to look back and regret? Is that your concept? Is that what you're saying? Is a senior citizen?
Absolutely. It's thinking about our life. And the future, whatever that future is for that
right.
change.
And okay.
for the younger folks, it can be longer down the road, or it doesn't matter. It's, will I regret if I don't try at least
Woo!
Having this? You know,
okay.
Oh, go
We're going to discuss this more in the second half hour here. Hang on and stay with us, everyone. Call somebody and tell them to tune in.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All right. excited. Reach for the stars and find your heart's desire. We're talking today on Go Yard about getting out on the limbs in your life. And what does that mean? Making changes that are going to have lasting effects for you, and how scary that kind of is, Dr. Angel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about a tree with limbs and getting out on those limbs, I don't know, when I was a kid, I used to love to climb trees.
I did too.
And I went out on a limb and fell and broke my ankle.
I had an appendicitis in a tree Central America where we lived. Yes.
Oh my
goodness. So I've got you beat. But
you
even
do.
Then, falling off the limb, and that's what we're afraid of so much in life, aren't we?
We are.
We won't succeed if we go out there on that limb.
True. And you know what? We had our issues. We patched them up and we got back up there and... Right. You know, and you just keep going forward. It doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. It just means we don't stop.
Right. So you just keep on regardless of what happens. And there's so many choices involved when we get out on the limb, don't you think? It's not just one choice, I'm going to college. It is, for instance, it's so much more than that. It's daily, sometimes moment-by-moment choices.
It is very much a moment-by-moment. You know, our lives are the lump sums of all of our choices.
Okay.
Our actions and our inactions. So it's what we do and what we don't do.
That's profound.
That is very profound.
Because we think of choices and change and what we do. So talk to me about what
Absolutely.
We don't
so
do.
So what we don't do, the choices we don't decide to take, the changes we don't put into practice. You know, a lot of times what I'll hear with clients, you know, they'll come in with these great ideas of how they're going to improve their life. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they'll go out telling all their family members and everyone's like, yeah, hurrah, that's really great. That's really great. And then you know what? They never do it.
Right.
Not even take a step.
And then sometimes they won't come back for counseling because they realize they haven't done it and they feel bad about themselves. So, you know, take it in small chunks like we were talking about a minute ago.
Absolutely.
Change it. Change in small ways.
So one of the things I hear all the time in the counseling room is, I know I want to change things, but I just can't seem to.
Right.
Oh, that is so real. And I love when I hear somebody say that because now I know they're getting real.
Okay.
They see the need. And they know they're struggling with it.
Right.
I'd rather hear that than I'm gonna. Because I'm gonna never does, usually.
Right, exactly.
So once you know the changes you want to make, if you want to make changes with your weight, or if you want to make changes with your lifestyle, or if you want to make changes, whatever that is, it can apply to any change.
Right.
Then the biggest obstacle we talked about is getting over the fear. So it's taking a look, a real look. What is holding you back? We did a whole show on what's holding you back.
We did, didn't we? We did one or two shows on what's holding you back.
Yes. But it's not the excuses that we're telling ourselves and other people.
Right.
And it's not, you know, we need to be honest. What am I really afraid of here?
Right.
What am I? What if this change happens? What will it look like? What if this change doesn't happen? What will things look like?
Whoa, what if it doesn't happen? I'm just going to be in the same rut I am in now, 35 years from now. People
and
need
how
to look at
are
that.
You feeling? Yeah, how
right.
are you feeling right now without this change?
Right.
How do you think you'll feel with it? Because that visual picture can help you motivate.
You know, I think a lot of times change is stymied, I like that word, by those mental pictures of somebody is not going to approve. Somebody, it's going to make somebody mad if I change. It's going to, let's say a person out there is living with an abuser and they know they need to get out of the situation, but they think that their life will get worse if they stand up to the abuser. You know what I'm saying? And it may for a moment and a half.
It could for a moment. But the end, it's a process.
Exactly.
You've
got to be willing to go through the process.
There's always pain. There's pain in staying with that abuser.
Absolutely.
And there's still that pain with change. So we're going to feel pain.
Okay.
We're not going to get away from it.
So it comes back to courage.
Comes back to building courage. So before the break, we were talking about we really need to build our courage. Because
right.
Because courage is the antidote to fear.
Right.
So how do we do that?
Okay. And I think you're going to tell us.
We are. So courage is the single most important characteristic for having change in our life.
Okay.
Courage allows us to explore our inner world, ourselves, and not run from the hard, the difficult, the sad, the things we don't want to look at. When we have courage, we can stand and say, okay, this really, really stinks, but we're going to deal.
Exactly.
And so courage is helping you to find the truth about yourself.
Right.
And so we need to start building our courage muscles. And this is like going to the gym. You're not going to go to the gym and never, you know, gone to the gym before and bench 300-pound weights.
Right, no.
You're not. You're probably going to pick up the bar.
That's a good metaphor. And by the way, somebody just texted in that's listening and said, this is really helping me.
Oh, so awesome. I'm glad. Thank you.
And, you know, that's the truth. It's a good metaphor when you think about going to the gym and you don't start out lifting the highest amount of weight, et cetera, or running the most miles. You have to start slow.
You do. So when you start to the gym for the first time, you're going to lift weights. You're probably, maybe you, if you're lucky, you'll get the bar up. You know?
Right.
So maybe we can start adding 5 pounds. And, you know, I don't know if I could get the bar up. But, you know, we're not going to go run that marathon if we've never ran before. We're
exactly.
not going to do it.
It's not going to happen. Okay. We can't do it.
Courage is the same way.
Okay.
You're just not going to all of a sudden become the Incredible Hulk over fear. We have to build that up.
Right.
And we're going to build it one step at a time.
And, you know, one of the things I think that's helped me through the years is what comes out of my mouth. I mean, there is a verse, and we've talked about this on this show before. It's Proverbs 18:21. Words have life. Words have death, you know?
They do.
They're poison or they're fruit. You choose, is what it says in the Message Bible. I love that verse because what we say about these changes has a lot to do with whether or not we succeed in our changes.
And it's not even just what we say to others, what we say
to ourselves.
Very much. And so you're
explain
true.
That. Would you explain that to our audience?
The words we give ourselves really gives us the strength or can take paralyze us. We are, when we talked at the top of the hour, I said we can be our worst enemy.
We can be.
And words that we tell ourselves can very much
like, you're never going to make this. You're never going to do this. This is not going to happen for you.
You're not good enough. You're not smart
enough. You're not smart enough. You're not cute enough.
No one will ever love you again.
Right.
So we get all those awful
things. This is
things.
Good stuff. I hope our audience is getting all this. And if you want to weigh in, we want to hear from you. Just text us, as this caller just did, 727-888-4171. Or you can call in and be patched through right in here to the studio, 727-441-3000. And if you're on the Starcom Media Network listening, you will have to use the texting because we are live in Tantalk Network at a different time than what we are on Starcom. I'll get all that out in a minute. So again, the texting number is 727-888-4171. Let's talk about these changes, Dr. Angel Falzoni.
All right. So we want to start building up our courage muscle. So to do that, we're going to take part in facing manageable fears.
Okay.
A fear of daring, doing something different, a small.
Fear of daring. That's interesting.
Fear of daring. So it's maybe not even something super threatening, something that we think we can handle and manage with the tools that we have to do it with.
Right.
Example. This is a silly example, but it's a good example.
We like your silly examples.
When I turned 35, I would never eat seafood. I hated seafood. I was never going to eat seafood. And I said at 35, I said, you know what? It is time for me to at least try it to see if I like it. I didn't even really know. I just decided I didn't like it before I ever tried it.
Cool.
And so I made myself try every different kind of seafood I could think of. And now
cool.
I go eat raw sushi. Go figure.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I won't do that, but I love seafood.
Go figure. And that was it. So I took something as silly as maybe changing a food or changing something small in my life, because those were some of the big platforms that helped me with bigger change.
Exactly.
Something silly like trying a new food.
That's cool. Or a different style of clothing or...
True. Try something new. Because there's a fear of change, and new is change. So try something new. Something non-threatening.
It does kind of... I don't know. What's the word for it? Just make your life a little more exciting, a little more fun when you're trying new things, don't you think? And then you can have a sense of pride in yourself that, hey, I did this.
But what we're really doing is we're training our minds and our bodies not to sit in comfort zone.
There you go.
And see, as long as we're in comfort zone, we can't change.
Yeah.
So we need to take something, if it's listening to a different radio station, it's doing something different, a different activity, try a new hobby.
Right.
Take a class at the craft store, go read a different kind of book that you would normally, but do something new. Get your body out of that mindset of it's got to be the same.
Right. Because when we're stuck in that, we do not progress, really. We just keep spinning our wheels the same way in whatever area it is.
We do. And so we can take something completely unrelated to the change we want to make and start working on doing something new.
So we admit that change is somewhat uncomfortable for us. Okay, we really do admit that. And stepping into the unknown is pretty exciting, but it's also got its fear and its trepidation.
It's scary. It can be very scary. Unknown. Right. We don't know. We don't have tools for it. What?
Right.
I don't know how I'm going to handle this or react to this or what I'm supposed to do.
Having a baby. Boy, that was, I remember my first son and you remember your first son. Oh my gosh. It's a whole new world.
And everything. You're thrown into change.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you're right. And it is challenging.
But it's like the joy outweighs all the other. You know, all the new stuff you're learning and the fact you don't think you're going to be a good mom or whatever the case may be.
True. And it's learning to start adapting and making changes for this new life and to learning to do it the best you can.
Right.
And so that's what it's about. It's about having some train our minds and our bodies to get out of comfort zone and start learning to do things a little different.
Okay.
If it's drive different patterns to your daily activities, then take a different route.
Right.
See different things. Talk to different people. Groupon and Living Social is great for new experiences.
Oh, absolutely.
You can try something new and you don't even have to pay a lot to do it.
And if you're needing to lose weight, I'll tell you, my sister a few days ago turned me on to a new fitness app. I think it's MyFitnessPal. Really good. There are things out there. There are tools that you can use on your phones and things to make those changes seem more doable.
Absolutely. And there are lots of great tools.
Right.
But before we can even hit on the area we want to change, let's just try a change in an unthreatening area. I remember one of the first things I learned was a new skill. And I tell everybody, I do not have spatial skills. I stink when it comes to laying things out spatially. And I learned to scrapbook.
Oh,
and I joined a group of girls who were, oh my gosh, amazing scrapbookers. And I would sit there for like 6 hours and I would lay out a full page spread while they laid out multiple pages at a time.
Wow.
But you know what? I sat there and stuck with it and made many scrapbooks.
Wow.
Over long periods of time. But it was a change. I gained a new skill.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing for me.
When my kids were little, we joined the Y in our little town and I learned to play racquetball. And also we joined the country club and I learned to play golf.
There you go.
And those things became really exciting things and ways to meet other people. But boy, if anybody would have told me when I was a kid I would be a golfer or play racquetball, I'd say, nah, that looks too hard or that's, you know.
Absolutely.
But when you get out and you start doing it, you realize, man, that's fun. And exercise, for instance, it releases endorphins in your brain and
absolutely, but it's also retraining your brain.
Oh, and retraining your brain.
And building courage muscles
courage,
at the same time.
Oh, my. Courage muscles. I didn't know that courage had muscles. Now I do.
It does.
Because it makes sense.
Once we start building and facing a fear of even a small, really not threatening fear, we've gained a muscle for that. And so as we keep gaining muscles, we can take bigger fear threats and have the courage to face them.
Oh, gosh, yes. Excellent. Good idea.
So it's building ourselves up.
We've just got to do it regardless of how threatening or scary it may feel.
True. So why courage? You're talking about courage. Why courage? Courage provides us the commitment we need to make the change.
Okay.
So when I have courage muscles, I can commit to change because now I know that I have faced a little fear and I did it with success.
All
and so
right.
I can take that success and go to my next one.
Exactly.
And so as we get success, we are getting better at handling change and going out on that limb. It gives us conviction for a new path. When I have courage, I feel like I have the conviction to take this new path, whatever that is. It can help us resist from old patterns, from going back to whatever that old thing is we're trying to change.
Because there's an excitement, I think, when you have a sense of accomplishment. You lose 5 pounds or you try a new skill or you go out and play golf or whatever you do, go to the driving range. Those things, you're like, whoa, I did that. You know, you're kind of proud of yourself, you know?
Absolutely. And being proud of yourself helps to motivate you and give you energy to keep on going.
Right. It does.
And to make more changes.
Right. It does.
And speaking of changes, we actually have a call here from Nan.
All right. Patch her through.
There you go. No problem.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? You're doing great. I love this. I wanted to call in about the courage part.
Yeah? Talk to us.
And I know this is not about domestic abuse, but my courage related to that, I was in an abusive marriage, and did not think that I could ever make it on my own.
Right.
He would tell me things like, nobody's ever going to want you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to make, you know, to keep me down. And we had a small child. And it was like, I mean, where I am now, I would have never believed I would be where I am now. And that is not with him.
Right.
Because he has such control. And it took courage to make the first step that I did.
Yeah.
And I had to actually file a domestic violence injunction against him.
Wow.
To get him out of the house temporarily. So that
and that takes
stuff.
Courage. We admit that that does.
Major
you
courage.
Know?
And the courage thing was really important for me. In that courage for me, you rely on people. You know, I had my father there, my mom there, were there for me, supportive of me. You know, and a counselor I got a counselor set in place that was supportive of me. So
cool.
It was my courage.
Right.
But I had people around me who encouraged me.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, absolutely. You're right. And we need to have that support system and that network getting behind our courage, especially a big change like that.
Yeah. So, and it all had a happy ending. I mean, everything worked out. It was difficult. It was challenging.
It took a while, didn't it? It took a while.
Oh, it took a long while.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was important for me and the health of me. And I'll hang up. But my son would jump in his sleep, and that's just what he did. I mean, and he would do it. He was 22 months when we separated, and he would jump in his sleep. And then when we were not together, I happened to notice he didn't jump in his sleep anymore.
Oh, wow.
It was the arguing and the fighting and the tension that was in the home. Subconsciously, this little guy was reacting to that.
Absolutely.
So I have a question for you. So all the things that he told you that kind of put that fear in you to leave, were they any of them true?
Absolutely not.
And that's it. Thank you so much for sharing. That was a great story, and I appreciate
that. Thank you. Appreciate you calling in. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Thanks. You know, that's a good point, because no matter whether it's our own thoughts or whether it's the thoughts of somebody else coming at us with, this is never going to happen, you're never going to succeed, you're going to be poor and broke and on the street, whatever those things are, when we start facing those and say, well, that I'm going to change anyway, regardless of what happens, that's courage.
That is great courage, and it took a lot of courage for her and anybody who steps out of those kinds of situations. But the end result, and I so appreciate her sharing that, none of those things that were told to her were actually a reality.
Right.
Because they usually aren't.
No, they're usually just fear tactics.
If we conjure it, or if someone conjures it in our minds, they're not usually at all. There isn't truth behind it. So, and that's what usually holds us back, is all that fear of those things.
Right.
So that was a great call.
That was great. Thank you for calling in.
Building our courage is going to help us let go of what's familiar.
Yes.
Just like she said, let go of what's familiar. Even if it's bad, it's familiar.
Right.
And comfortable, and grab onto hope that a new life choice will provide us with.
Wow.
Because that hope is a driving force.
Exactly.
And
so when the person wakes up in the middle of the night and they hear all this stuff in their head going over and over, and, well, you know, you're never going to make it, or, you know, maybe not, it's not coming from a person, actually, it's in their own head, you know, and that was stupid, why did you do that, what decision did you make, that was crazy, you need to retreat from that, and just, you know, let's say her example, and just love your husband, it'll be okay, regardless of how much he beats you, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
That self-talk, that craziness that goes on in our heads, all of us.
Well, you know, one of the tools I would tell my clients to do is to make a what if. What if all these worst case things happen? What if? What if nobody ever wanted to be with you again and you walked out? Well, at least you wouldn't be in that situation. At least you might, you know, what if all the worst scenarios really happen? What would it look like in your life? Because when we really look at it and process it, it's usually not nearly as bad and reality, even when we make a reality, writing it down in the what if,
right?
Then we think it will be in our head. What if?
I like that. So put it down on paper. So the what ifs or the worst case scenarios.
So when you hear these voices, or people are telling you things, or you're telling yourself these, all these things that are holding you back from making whatever choice, what if it happened? What if all those things happen? What would be good? What would be bad? And what would your life look like?
Wow. That's good. That's good advice.
That helps us build courage. Because
we realize, hey, I can survive that.
The what-ifs in our mind are so much bigger monsters than they will ever be in reality.
Exactly.
And so we don't think that way. We don't see that way. And it's scary to make
change.
This
is kind of fun, isn't it? Out on a limb and actually to talk about this. We're not going to get done with this tonight. You realize it's going to have to go on next week. But it'll give our listeners some time to think of questions they might want to write or text in or call in. Because this is very important to our growth and development emotionally, financially, job-wise. As parents, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, here's the thing. If we can't get this concept, then anything else we say on the show means nothing. Because if we can't
change, that's a huge
statement,
doctor.
It's true, though, because we're always talking about changing and growing and learning new tools and supports to do things different or better or to improve our lives. And if we can't put it into practice, hearing it all the time isn't going to help us until we can start making those changes. No, it's like the treadmill sitting in our bedroom. I'm not getting skinny with a treadmill in my bedroom.
Exactly.
I'm going to get skinny when I get my bottom on that treadmill and commit to it and put it into practice.
All right. We have a caller here that is a text in, and it's a very specific question, Dr. Angel, for you. How do you get the courage to tell family about what happened in the past when they don't believe what happened, but you need to tell them in order to help yourself heal?
Wow, that's a difficult one.
I'm thinking that might be some kind of molestation, but I don't know. It's not spelled out. It could be anything.
Could be anything.
Boy, doctor, let's see how you feel that question, Dr. Falzoni.
That's a challenging one because we're divulging information to people that may not or may believe us, and that's very sensitive to us. And so I would suggest that we talk about it with a confident, maybe you get a professional counselor to kind of help us process our part of it first.
Right.
Because you're ready to talk about it with that person doesn't mean they're ready to hear it.
Right. Exactly.
And so, you may feel like you need that for your closure, and you do need that for your closure, but it's a process to get there. And
maybe you don't need it for your closure. Maybe you need to have the ability to be heard by someone, not necessarily the abuser, let's say.
Absolutely. And so one of the tools that we would use in counseling, because sometimes you can't tell the person
right. That
you need to. Maybe they've passed, they've gone, or they're just out of your life or
whatever.
Or they're
negative and they won't take it.
And people still feel like they might need that closure. You know, you can write what you would want to say and even
right. Talk
to I know it sounds kind of silly, but talk to them like they're there, but they're not. But it helps
the empty
us
chair
to, the empty chair.
I like that in counseling. We explain that to our audience because that is a good tool. But I mean, be sure you're alone in the house or wherever. Otherwise somebody's gonna think you're just playing crazy. But go ahead.
But it's still talking and processing those feelings, those emotions, and getting it out when you don't always have the opportunity to talk to the people you feel you need to talk to for past traumas or things that happen that are difficult. Because just because this person's ready to face that doesn't mean anybody who was a part of it or whatever is ready to hear it or can or has the tools. Because you've been living with it and dealing with it in your truth for all this time, whatever that time is. But they haven't.
Right.
And so it's a tricky situation.
And it may backfire on you.
It may very much.
It's better to get some type of professional help or at least somebody that you can have confidence in that you can trust to talk to
Absolutely. About
something that serious.
Absolutely.
Whatever that is.
And you may want someone to go in with you that you trust that can be a support with you. Or you may
right. Want
to do it in a professional setting so that you have that neutral person to kind of, as a counseling setting. I've had many people confront people in a counseling setting where
right. Things
can stay in control and we can talk and process and make it productive and
right. Not
increase the trauma by the reactions.
Yeah, a lot of times it just becomes a drama-filled disaster.
Absolutely. And it just can make things more traumatic
right. For
everybody.
Exactly. So that's a very good question, and thank you for texting in. Texter and courage. Okay, so let's finish that up. We are just about out of time. So
we are. It always goes so fast.
It just goes so fast. And so, Dr. Angel, okay, so you're saying that in order to really have fulfilled lives, we really do need to learn to jump into the pool of courage and try some things.
We do. So we need to start working on our courage muscles, because when we have that courage, it brings what's intimidating in our life and our thoughts, what we see as intimidating, because that's where fear comes from. It's
right.
intimidating us to approachable. I can do this.
Okay, but don't you think a lot of people, the reason they don't want to go down Courage Avenue and they want to stick with, you know, the fears and all that, is because they are afraid of failure?
Oh, yeah.
Fear of failure is huge, don't you think, in most people's lives?
True. And so when somebody comes to me and they're like, I'm just afraid I'm going to fail, we process it. And one of the things is, if we don't do it, you don't have it. You will never have that change if you just sit there and don't do anything.
Right.
If you make a change, you could succeed. Could is better than never anytime in my book.
That's right.
I always go with the risk than the guarantee.
And there is an emotional uplift, kind of like, you know, an upswing of air under an airplane, you know, when you actually try some new things, whether or not, let's say it's racquetball and you're not good at it, it doesn't matter. You've tried something, and that may propel you on to try something else in some other area of your life because you got courage to step out.
Absolutely. You know, and as humans, we are constantly in the state of growing, emerging, and becoming. And we should always be looking to try something new, to expand our experiences.
Right.
This year, I started running. I mean, I could run to the mailbox the first time I could run, and I did a 5K a month and a half ago.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, so, but that was something new for me.
Right.
And so if we want, we need to keep, I don't care how old you are, I don't care where you are at in life, we should always be working for that emerging and becoming and growing and expanding
ourselves. Emerging, becoming, and growing.
And if it's emotionally, if it's physically, whatever realm, we need to start expanding ourselves. If you're always, you know, for me, that was another one I did, was I always read nonfiction books because I'm a book geek. And now this year I joined a book club and I have read all these fiction books, which is totally out of my limb. But you know what? I'm doing it. And it's, yeah, I'm learning to enjoy it, I think.
You're getting really risky out there.
I know.
Wow.
But it's the
reading fiction. Wow.
But it's getting our minds and our bodies out of that state of what's comfortable.
Right. And let's attack the fears in our lives and try some new things.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to challenge our listeners this week. I do this. This is your homework.
All right. Let's hear Dr. Angel's homework.
Homework is you have to go and have something new, different this week. A new experience. Try a new food. Take a different route somewhere. Do something different. One thing.
All right.
Let's build a muscle.
We'd love to hear what those are. And you can text us always, 727-888-4171. And that is our Go Yard text number. And you can, anytime, 24/7, 365, use that number. 727-888-4171. Website, goyard2014.org. Go there and you can listen to all the shows we've done so far up through March, and then April will be on next week. Dr. Angel, a parting word for our listeners to all. What do you, besides their homework, you want to repeat their homework one more time?
Their homework is to have a new experience. Try something new this week.
Okay. All right. And what about those that just bogged down with fear? Anything?
Well, we're going to just take it one step at a time.
One step at a time.
You didn't get that way overnight. We're not going to undo it overnight. So let's be patient and take one step at a time.
And be patient and come back and tune in again next week to this show, where we're going to get into more detail about this. And we're going to help you overcome some of those fears.
Absolutely.
And move out into courage.
Get on those limbs.
Get out on those limbs. Woo! And, you know, our theme song, Mercy Me, is a new lease on life. You know, and it's talking about from, you know, let's go forward. Let's move
it. Let's do this.
Dr. Angel is now 40 plus.
Oh, woo! Gosh. 40.
40. All right. Okay. This has been Mama Mac, who's not 40, and Dr. Angel, who is. And a wonderful time with our texters tonight and the caller. And we would love it for you to participate. So join us again next week on Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel.
Good night.
See ya.